Welcome to The Idiot by Fyodor Dostoevsky, a novel that forces you to ask whether genuine goodness can survive in a corrupt world. Most people assume that a truly virtuous person would be admired and protected by society, but this book argues the opposite with devastating force. Dostoevsky, the man who once stood before a firing squad and received a last-minute reprieve, spent years building the case that innocence is the most dangerous thing you can possess. The novel opens with Prince Lev Nikolaevich Myshkin arriving by train into St. Petersburg in bitter November cold. He is about 26, pale, thin, dressed in a light cloak entirely inadequate for the weather. He has spent 4 years in Switzerland being treated for epilepsy, a man who has lived entirely outside Russian social life. On that train, Myshkin meets two figures who will define the novel's entire arc. Parfyon Rogoshin is a merchant's son, robust and warmly dressed, already consumed by a violent obsession with a woman named Nastasya Filipovna. Lebedev, a minor civil servant, previews the social parasitism Myshkin will face throughout Petersburg. The contrast between Myshkin and Rogoshin is immediate and essential, according to Dostoevsky. Rogoshin has already spent 100,000 rubles on Nastasya Filipovna. Myshkin arrives with almost nothing but radical candor. Where Rogoshin radiates dangerous passion, Myshkin is transparent, openly discussing his epilepsy and poverty with strangers. Myshkin's defining quality emerges through a story he tells about a Swiss village girl named Marie. She had been seduced, abandoned, and shunned by her entire community. Dostoevsky argues that Myshkin's instinct to befriend and defend her reveals his core nature, a profound, instinctive compassion for the outcast, combined with a childlike directness that cuts through social convention entirely. Myshkin arrives in Petersburg to seek out Madame Epanchin, a distant relative, carrying only a letter of introduction. He unexpectedly inherits a fortune soon after, but the author argues that wealth changes his social position without changing his character. He remains guileless and incapable of performance, simultaneously fascinating and threatening to everyone around him. The Epanchin family becomes his primary social world. General Epanchin's wife, Lizaveta, is drawn to Myshkin's sincerity, even as she fears the chaos he brings. Their youngest daughter, Aglaya, brilliant, proud and volatile, develops a relationship with him that oscillates between tenderness and cruelty, reflecting her own fear of vulnerability. Nastasya Filipovna haunts the periphery, living near Pavlovsk, in a destructive arrangement with Rogoshin. She sends letters to Aglaya, urging her to marry Myshkin, while simultaneously staking a tragic claim on his pity. The author contends this double movement, self-sacrifice and manipulation at once, is what makes her one of literature's most complex figures. The Berdovsky affair sharpens Dostoevsky's social critique. A group of young nihilists publicly demands money from Myshkin, claiming a fraudulent moral debt. Myshkin disproves the claim through evidence, yet still offers money out of genuine compassion. And in doing so, the author exposes these self-proclaimed champions of justice as dishonest, self-serving, and more interested in scoring points than in truth. Alongside Berdovsky stands the consumptive young intellectual Hippolyte Terentyev, who introduces aggressive philosophical confrontation into the novel's social world. Hippolyte is dying and furious about it, and he uses his illness as a weapon against everyone around him. Dostoevsky positions him as the dark mirror of Myshkin, where Myshkin accepts suffering with grace. Hippolyte rages against it. The social comedy of the Epanchin veranda runs alongside these darker currents throughout the Pavlovsk section. Gossip, matchmaking, class anxiety, and generational friction fill the summer air with a kind of brittle normalcy. The author uses this ordinary social texture to make Myshkin's radical sincerity look even stranger by contrast. Nastasya Filipovna's letters to Aglaya crystallize the novel's central tragic structure. She urges Aglaya to marry Myshkin while simultaneously claiming his pity for herself. Self-sacrifice and manipulation fused into one gesture. According to Dostoevsky, this double movement is what makes her one of literature's most irreducibly complex figures. Myshkin is caught between a proud living love and a tragic consuming claim on his compassion. He cannot refuse anyone who suffers, and that constitutional inability is precisely what destroys him. The author argues this is not weakness, but a form of spiritual grace that the world simply cannot accommodate. Dostoevsky's ultimate contention is that genuine goodness, in a corrupt social world, functions as a kind of catastrophe. Myshkin's disinterested innocence is read by those around him as either idiocy or cunning, never as what it actually is. The novel's opening movement plants that tragic irony and lets it grow.